Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, carnies and marks, welcome to another episode of the Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. My name is Matt Lehman. I am the owner of Finders Thrifted Vinyl in La Quinta, California. And tonight, we are actually in-house. I am doing an interview of Anthony. His name is Anthony, and I'm going to get a little more into him in just a second as to why he's here. He has been mentioned on an earlier episode or two of the podcast. But let me go ahead and introduce himself, or have him introduce himself. His name is Anthony. Anthony, say hello to the people. There's only about 60 people listening at this point, so don't be nervous.
Hello, I'm Anthony.
And how old are you, Anthony?
I'm 33.
33. Mm-hmm. Do you live around here?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you come into Finders Thrift and Vinyl?
I think it was I was hitting your dumpsters first.
Yes, kinda... that is how we met, and that is how you were known on the shop or on the podcast. Anthony is the guy that was going through our dumpsters. But you also have come in the shop many times mm-hmm. after that. And one of the reasons I wanted to do an interview with you is because, as I've told you and told other people, you're very articulate, you're very polite, and you're probably.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're probably much more knowledgeable in the antiques and artifact world than I would say 75% to 80% of the people that come through my shop. So, tell me your story. Why are you going through my dumpsters?
Well, it actually started about 2014. My house burnt down, and because of that, I was on the streets, and so I started. Hitting local dumpsters and stuff to recycle, you know? And I'd start hitting dumpsters, and I'd find such nice things or valuable things that eventually I'd just throw the recyclables down and just get to take the other stuff and go sell that, you know?
Like, sure, why not? So when you found these valuable things, what did you do with them? Where were you going to, flip them? In the industry, that's what we call is flipping them or reselling them.
Well, you're one person, just around town usually, just are people I know.
I guess my question is there an underground, underground is not the right word, but is there an underground market for collectibles or how does that work? I mean, obviously there's a trickle up effect as opposed to trickle down. You probably have a friend that knows somebody that knows somebody, so you're making a little bit, they're making a little bit, they're making a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I guess on that food chain at the time in 2014, you were low man on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
then, like, it just kind of depends on like what I'd find. Like, I'd find like a certain item and I know like, oh, this person, you know, would know somebody that would know what to do with it or would like to buy it, or so it just kind of depends on what I'd find, you know?
Right. So this started in 2014. Now you said your house burned down. What happened with your house?
Well,
do you still, was it a house that you owned? Was it a house you were renting? Or?
Yeah, it was actually my grandma's house, and my ex-girlfriend at the time and my father and I, we were going to walk Circle K because it's just about half a mile away, you know, right over here in Carranza. And we were walking to Circle K, and then on our way back, we saw smoke, you know. And we're like, oh, check it out. There's a fire. It must be a fire, you know. Oh, that's too bad, you know. And we got closer, like, oh, it's by our house. And then when we got there, it was like, oh, it is our house, you know. And then just everything was up in flames by the time we got there, you know. And then...
So was it not insured? I mean,
no, or... it was, but and then see, like a few years prior to the house burning down, my grandfather passed away, and my dad and I, we were more like my grandpa, more took after him, you know, and then my uncle was more like a mama's boy or whatever, and like took after my grandma, and you know how it gets, like seems like it happens to a lot of families. They see dollar signs and people like pass away instead of like coming together. You know, they just try and like
sure,
mm-hmm, and then just get what they can. You know, instead of coming together like they should. You know,
right. So what happened with where is your father then?
He was on the streets. We were on the streets together, and
okay,
because I didn't want to like I wouldn't because in 2008, or in 2007, beginning 2008, he had a brain aneurysm, and then he was in Loma Linda for almost 9 months, and for most of that time, I thought, like, he was gonna, like, either pass away or come out like a vegetable, so I know what it's gonna feel like when to lose, like, a parent, so when we were on the streets, I didn't want to leave his side, because, like...
You don't know what's gonna, you don't know what's gonna happen to him. You want to take care of him. Exactly, your father. Yeah, of course. Wow. So I assume that while he was in Loma Linda, that pretty much wiped out any savings or anything that he would have had.
Yeah.
So that put you on the street. So, so if you're 33 and that was 2009, what were you doing at that, or 2007, 2008? What were you doing before 2007, 2008? Before you were on the streets?
Oh, I was actually subcontracting for the city right here.
Yeah, because your grandfather was pretty heavy into construction, correct? Mostly in L.A. area?
Yeah, Long Beach area.
Like a pretty pretty big deal.
Yeah, yeah, he was. And then my uncle, my dad's half-brother, he lives in Palm Springs, and he has a construction company out there. He's actually married Bill Foster's daughter. He was the mayor of Palm Springs before Bono.
Wow. And so... Why didn't you continue on subcontracting? Because you were trying to take care of your father?
Yeah, well, actually, my boss for the city right here, he lost his contract because my good friend that I was working with, subcontracting for the city of La Quinta, his older brother got out of prison, and he kind of messed it up. Like, at the city lockup right here, he had the, like, cops called there, and, like, he barricaded himself in, like, in the... in the city lockup, and then he'd go buy things, like, on the our accounts, like, and then sell it to, like, the electricians for half price, and so my boss lost his contract, and, you know, he was stupid.
Okay.
Instead of working, he didn't just want to, man, he was lazy.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so let's go back to dumpster diving, because that, like, this interview, obviously, is weird, but it's also very interesting, because... Mm-hmm. I've known people that have spent careers just digging dumpsters. If you know and you have the ability to go to certain dumpsters and you know how to get into them, because some of them are locked, then you can actually make quite a decent living off
of them.
When you started going into dumpster diving, what was the first thing that you found that where you finally was like, well, I guess I don't need to recycle anymore? Or, I mean, obviously you're still not passing up recycling because that's cash, but what was it when you started to say, I need to actually... look for more important things, or I'm finding more important things that are worth more than cans and bottles.
See, remember one time I one of the first things I found was I saw a laptop case in the dumpster, you know, and I was like, there's no way, you know, it's gonna be empty or it's gonna be a piece of crap. And then I grab it and then I'm like, there's something in there, and it felt like a laptop, you know, and I was like, there's no way it's gonna be a good one, you know,
it's gonna be a crack screen,
yeah,
or something.
You know, there's no way. And then I open it and then I'm like, well, it's like a brand new laptop, you know? It's gotta be locked or broken. It's not gonna turn on. And then, something. And then I turn it on and it's unlocked and everything works. I'm like, no way, dude. What? Who throws this away, you know? Like,
yeah, I have that same question quite a bit when I go through storage units. Why? Not so much, but I'm on the flip side of that. I'm on the opposite side of why are you paying to store this? Like, I've bought storage units that were nothing but garbage. Like, and I'm not talking garbage like salvage garbage. I'm talking boxes of just trash, broken plates and stuff like that. And not like the plates were broken when they were in storage. You could tell that they were put in there as broken. You're like,
oh, wow.
In the world? And these people are paying storage for months and years and decades at a time.
Man,
you're like,
who
does that?
I don't know. That's nuts.
Yeah, so...
Hoarders or something.
A lot of times it is.
That's crazy. I never thought about that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So when you're going through dumpsters and looking around on the streets for stuff, what do you get excited about? What is it that you find that you know is a quick flip for you that's quick cash?
Well, a lot of times, I mean, I've found just piles of jewelry. I remember for some reason I thought of I found a vacuum bag, and I was like, huh, I know if, I think it was at NBC Suites, like a hotel, and I was like, I bet you people have lost loose diamonds or something, you know, and the maids didn't see it, and they don't check this, and I remember I dumped it out, and I found a Tiffany necklace.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then right here at Angel View, right here behind this shop right here, Because I like those kind of dumpsters because there's not food and stuff like that in there. So yeah. I don't like to be in those ones really. But I remember I found a jewelry box and I found a Tiffany Hart pendant in the jewelry box in the corner right there.
In this dumpster?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Wow.
Yep.
Well, Angel View, if you're listening, maybe you should pay a little more attention to what you're putting in your dumpsters. Angel View, for anybody that's listening outside of Southern California, is a thrift store, and it's right behind me, really. There's probably, it's a Southern California thrift store chain. What are your favorite dumpsters to hit? I mean, obviously, do you have a circuit? Like, do you know what days to hit the dumpsters? Because obviously, I mean, I'm trying to compare this to auctions.
Okay.
Because like with me, I can go online and say, okay, I've got auctions here today or here tomorrow or what have you. But do you know, like, obviously, I'm guessing you have a route of I got to hit these dumpsters or I know that this is going to be probably a good dumpster. Do you normally hit the days after they're dumped or before?
I kind of like, that's a good question. I don't really know exactly. I know when the trash day, like whenever it is, I try and go that night. And
because people have probably filled it up that night.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing,
it's filled up.
And I then, do. Absolutely. Exactly. our trash day is usually Wednesday. Sometimes it's Thursday. But on Tuesday night, if I have a truck full of stuff on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, I will load the dumpster because I know it'll be taken. Because I don't want to fill up the dumpster for the rest of the businesses around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I usually go. Angel used to be good, but I don't know.
They've changed.
Not no more.
They've changed management.
Okay. Yeah, they're a little more hip to it now, I think.
They've changed management, and I don't think that they're getting. Their business has changed quite a bit.
Really?
In the last 6 months, I know that they got new management. And they've rebuilt the entire inside. They got rid of the whole furniture section. That's now an intake for their donations, which is very weird because they don't normally have that many donations, especially because they have a hub and most of their stuff goes to their hub and then they spread it out between the other shops.
I think a lot of them are some of them are crooked. I think because I've seen them. The people donate some really nice things, and in the shop, it's not that nice, you know.
A lot of those places, like Goodwill especially, they have online sites, and they, same thing, is they are told, one of my former employees used to work for Goodwill, and they were told when they found something that they thought might be of value, it went back into the truck, and
that truck
took it to their hub. Their hub decided whether or not they thought it was valuable. If it was, they went to auction their online site.
Okay.
That's why a lot of the thrift stores in the area and abroad don't really have as good a stuff anymore because you have to go to their online sites to buy it. And you can't really fault them for that. They're getting more money for them. So,
I'm just curious about that kind of.
Yeah.
And I did. Okay, that makes sense now. But I usually hit Angel View and then I'd go right here across the street to NBC Suites is a good one.
I bet the hotels are pretty solid.
Yeah, really good, yeah. That's actually where I found this watch I'm wearing right now. Found this earlier today. Pretty much almost a brand new Casio. You know what I mean?
And it's running, which is I don't think there's a single watch in my shop that runs right now. So you're wearing the only watch in this shop that's working.
Yeah, I just thought, I was like, I'm going to go see if I can find some good things for the for speaking tonight, you know.
Where did the trunk come from?
Actually, that one came from Silver Rock. Usually,
from their dumpster?
Yeah.
So this trunk I'm looking at is it's a handmade wooden trunk. It was probably at one point a wedding hope chest. It's not massive. It's probably 2.5 feet by a foot by 18 tall. It looks like it probably had a shelf at one point, but it's all hand hammered on the front with I don't think it's silver. But it's probably like just pot metal chickens and all tin embellished on it. And it's probably, I would say, turn of the century. And it's actually in really good shape. It's missing the lock, but it's actually in very good shape that somebody at Silver Rock threw away. Silver Rock is a golf course around here.
Oh, no, the apartments right here.
Oh, the
Silver Hawk.
Oh, yeah. The apartments, yeah.
Silver Rock, that's what I'm asking.
It's actually a cool trunk. I love trunks. They don't sell very well for me, but I love them, especially
I like
these
them too.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why.
I'll show you one that I have in here that's actually from the 1700s or 1800s.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
does it have the round top?
No, no, it's actually a pirate treasure chest.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow, that's cool. Pretty cool. That's probably why I like him too.
Yeah. One of my other pickers brought that in. I don't know where he got it, but he brought it in.
Oh, that's cool. And then Silverhawk's a good one too. But I always feel bad because I always find good things when people get evicted, you know? And I find like photo albums and stuff and throwing them out.
See, that's actually that's not how that works. So I'm trying to figure out how I want to put this. I used to manage apartment buildings.
Okay.
If somebody is evicted, that's not how that goes down. If somebody's evicted from an apartment, you are legally required to hold on to their personal possessions for 90 days.
That's weird.
And you can do whatever you want. You can have a third party come in and put it in storage. And I think that's probably where we see a lot of storage unit auctions is because, so if you're evicted from your apartment, the apartment manager has to come in, and I think it's been 10 plus years. Shit, it's actually been 20 years since, almost 20 years since I managed apartments.
Time flies, huh?
Yeah, for sure. And you have to box up all of their possessions, hold on to them. You can leave them in the apartment if you want, but you have to hold on to them for 90 days. And 90 days leaving an apartment is kind of stupid because you're losing rent for 90 days. So usually what you do is you put them in a storage unit for 90 days, and at the end of the 90 days, you auction them off to whoever wants it. Because the tenant has the right, and within 90 days, they can come back and claim their stuff. Now, they have to pay all of the rental fees, everything that you want to charge them for loss of rent and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So for you to find a photo album in a dumpster is probably not an indication of an eviction as much as it's an indication of somebody else is dumping that. I don't know why.
That's weird. Because it seems like usually the end of the month, the beginning of the month, there's always like, that kind of stuff in there. Like one time, this isn't, it didn't seem like it was an eviction, but I found like 20, 30 boxes, like UPS boxes in there, right, in the trash. And I open them up, and it's enough to build three brand new laptops, you know, all screen, everything, you know. I was like, what?
They may have, that may have been deliveries that were never picked up.
But
they couldn't forward them, so they might have dropped off the deliveries.
That's probably what that was, but I don't know. It seems like
they could be
thing. That's weird.
They could be not holding on to possessions for whatever reason. And if somebody passed, then next of kin, if they were notified or were not notified, they may have just said dump it. It's hard to say. There are other variables involved in that, but legally, that's legally. That doesn't necessarily mean what they're doing is legal or not legal. Yeah. I'm not saying that they are doing anything legal or illegal. Yeah. I'm saying that's what the law is. They have to hold on to it. I think it's 90 days. It may be 60 or it may have changed. Like I said, it's been 15 to 20 years since I've managed apartment buildings. So the apartment buildings are good. Mm-hmm. So you stay mostly in the Cove area.
Yeah, mostly just like right here.
Yeah. Because I know that people that hit, say, Target, but a lot of those are locked.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work at Home Depot, and you could never have gotten into their dumpsters.
Oh, yeah,
and
they have those big things. Like,
They have compactors, that's too. It. Yeah. So there's no point in you getting in there in their trash anyway. It's all been destroyed. Wow.
And then not too long ago, I actually missed the bus right here into the Cove, right? And so I had to walk from over there, Washington 111, and it's about a 3-mile walk from there to my house, you know? And I was taking a shortcut, and it was trash night, and I was like, oh, I'm going to see if there's any recyclables on this one street, you know? And then the third trash can I look in, at the top of the trash can, there's a pile of jewelry, like, on top of the all the bags. There's just a big pile of jewelry. I'm like, what the? No way, dude. So I grab all the jewelry, you know, and most of it's fake, but
it doesn't matter. Costume jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
Costume jewelry is probably my second number one. My number two seller in my shop behind records.
Really?
So costume jewelry is a good sell.
Okay, cool.
So.
That's good to know. And then, but then I found there, in that one was a Tiffany necklace, a tennis bracelet.
Dude, you're like going to open a Tiffany shop.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I found a lot of, quite a few. And then,
You found more Tiffany pieces than I have in 20 years of storage units.
Oh, yeah? That's
I
crazy.
I found my first piece of Tiffany jewelry in the unit we just talked about. That
really?
All the gold jewelry. That was
first
time I found a piece of
that's
Tiffany
nuts.
Jewelry. Yeah, so you have found more Tiffany jewelry than
cool.
I have
that's
in 20
crazy.
Years.
I've found more than that, too. That's funny. But I found a single stone engagement ring. Like it was just a 14-carat
gold. And what do you do with that?
Actually, I gave, it was around my mom's birthday, so I gave my mom a lot of that.
Damn, yeah, birthday mom. All right, so what would you say in your estimation is the best thing you found? Or what was the best thing you found, and what was the most interesting thing you found, or the thing that you like to talk about the most? What are some of your greatest finds? We talked about mine before the podcast, and most of the stuff that we talked about is stuff that has been on the podcast. Mm-hmm. The Picasso that's in shop. That's cool. The shrunken head is actually not a find. I purchased that, but the prehistoric railroad bone was brought in. I found a pretty cool bourbon collection from the century, but from the 50s and 60s that was just amazing. It was a wonderful bourbon, somebody's bourbon collection.
Oh, wow.
And
let me see. That one jewelry one I just said, it was pretty good one.
Nice.
Because it was just a pile of jewelry on top of the bags, it was set there for me. It was nuts. Like, it was just set there. Like, it wasn't, I mean, there's a bag and there's a flat spot, and then on the top of the flat spot are all the bags, a full trash can, and there's just a pile of jewelry. It's like, what?
I suspect Trash Day in the Cove is a pretty solid score day, and I know that people, I'm pretty sure that if there's a community or an underground community, as I said earlier, they know my house because I tend to put larger pieces of furniture, but I also know that I very rarely put garbage on my corner. I put stuff on my, and I live on the street corner. I'm on the corner of Carranza and Sonora.
Okay.
And I put stuff on the corner that is usable. Somebody, if they wanted to rehab it a little bit, could, or if they just wanted to use it as is in their garage or whatever. Because furniture doesn't sell very well for me, so I would much rather it go to somebody that's going to resell it, make some money for it, or whatever. But I'm pretty sure this shop has been open 5 years. I've been doing this for a professionally for 7 or 8, and in those 8 years, there's something always on my corner.
Yeah,
people know my. They're like, go check out Carranza in Sonora. He's got.
Actually,
he's always.
I think I actually probably have been through your cans.
I don't know if I put a lot.
Well, I just always just look, like, I'm going to the street, so I just glance, you know, like, just pop the lid real quick, just look in there.
I would say that my house trash is that. It's my house trash.
Yeah.
If I'm going through a storage unit, I'm almost always doing it at the shop, so my dumpster is well worth it. And I know that there's a ton of stuff in my dumpster to be made money on if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's stuff for me that isn't worth my time or effort, and it's stuff that I won't necessarily take over to Angel View because they get fickle after a while.
Yeah.
They know me and they know that I have a thrift store and they get ticked off because they think I'm bringing them crap. But I'm very particular. Like, I won't take anything that's broken or stuff that I know they don't like books, so I don't take them books.
Yeah.
I know
they throw away a lot of books and they shouldn't do that. I don't know.
They can recycle them realistically. There's actually money in the recycling. There's not a lot, but there is money in it. And most of the larger thrift stores, even though Angel View is one, will do that. So I'm not sure what their big game plan is for their company. I don't know, but so where did you get your knowledge on antiques and older stuff? Because like I said, I've seen you pick up stuff in here and say, "Oh, this is so and so, and this is this and this." So I know that you know or have had some background or some introduction into it.
Actually, my grandmother, and then just kind of a.
No, what?
Well, I watch a lot of Antiques Roadshow with my grandma and stuff, you know.
Nice.
That helped a little bit.
I watch a lot of Antiques Roadshow. My fiance hates it. Was your grandmother an antique enthusiast, or was she just like
estate sales and stuff? Like she, like I used to think actually myself too how I would never dumpster dive when I was younger. I used to think that's disgusting. That's tacky, you know. And then
I guess you have to decide. Everybody has their threshold, but there's nobody, I don't think that there's anybody that if they were driving down the street,
oh yeah, I know what you're
saying. And there was a Picasso laying against a trash can,
exactly,
that somebody's not going to grab it and say, it's in the trash, exactly. I'm certainly not going to get it.
Oh, I know.
So the only difference is because it's visible and it's not in the trash can, it's all right. But even if it were, if the trash can were open and it were sticking out of a trash can, you can't tell me that somebody would pick it up. So you're saying so the stigma that goes with it is
I don't know, my grandma's
putting your hand in a trash can.
Yeah, a little vain like that. Like, I found, like, really nice things, and if I were to tell her that I got out of the trash, like, it could be a gold ring, and she wouldn't take it because I got it, you know what I mean? So I'd be like, she's like, you know, and then...
She has to know to some degree, doesn't she? I mean...
Yeah, she's just being, like, hard-headed, you know? Like, but, I used to, like, have that, I used to think, like, about dumpster diving, like, I'd never do that, like, before I knew, people threw away such, I mean, perfectly good things, you know?
So often.
Like, that expression, one man's trash, another man's treasure, you know? Yeah. That's definitely...
Another man's treasure. It just happens to be in a trash can. Yeah, exactly. This is what it means now.
It's crazy to think, man. Like, actually, today, too, I found a brand new rug doctor. Brand new. Like, it may have been used one time, you know? And the ones you rent at the stores, you know, they're real expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, brand new.
Where was that?
Actually, two streets over.
Was it in, like, a personal trash can?
Yeah, so stick out of the trash can and the handle, and I was like, what's that?
That might be... It's interesting, because you don't know the background of it, so it may be that they're cleaning an estate, or and it didn't sell, or they, for whatever reason, who knows, you know, or they bought it and thought that they'd use it more often than didn't, or they could have just taken very good care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know. I think to me, buying storage units, the interesting thing to me, what keeps me going even when I find a bad unit is getting to know the people that owned it, because invariably, same like you find photo albums. I find photo albums. I always find paperwork. I always find bits and pieces of trails that I follow, breadcrumbs that I follow to try to figure out who they were and how they got to where they were and what happened. And that's, again, this is kind of where this podcast is going. Is I like to kind of get to know these people and give them a story, because I feel like 90% of people's lives, everybody's life, 90% of it is pretty boring. It's like, I got up in the morning, I went to work, I went to bed, I had too much to drink last night, whatever, I watched TV. But there's 10% of every person has a brilliant story or a wonderful story to tell. And if you can get them to tell you that story, you can entertain them. It's like opening a book. So this is like opening up your Anthony's book.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's the way I look at it. And I don't care that you dumpster dive or that you are living on the streets. I think it's actually there. I can't imagine that. I think that most people at some point in their lives have said, I would just like to walk away from all of my bills, all of my problems, and just move on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free enough that you can do that. And now, will most people take that step? No. Did you have an option to or not take that step? Not necessarily, but you're making the best of the situation, and I think you're actually doing a very interesting job of it. Again, because you have the knowledge, and you're also learning every time you pull something from the trash. You're learning more and more about that thing. So
yeah, thank you. Actually, I've noticed like so many people, like you're saying, like are a lot more unhappy than I am, and like when I was at my worst on the streets, and I'm like, what's the point, you know, like.
Why are you living an existence that's so unhappy?
Yeah, like, I know what you mean. I mean, I don't even know what would be worse, being on the streets or doing what they're doing.
Or being unhappy.
You know, like, it's like, just, so many people are, I don't know, just...
I don't think you realize how profound that is. That's a pretty profound statement. And I think about that more often than probably most people, saying... You could very easily walk away from your life and survive, because basically, if you look, I mean, as I said, we're sitting in my shop right now, and I'm looking around, and all of this stuff in my shop is stuff. It's not necessary for me to be happy. It makes me happy in a fleeting moment, but is it true happiness? That's very interesting. So, having said that, what makes you happy?
Actually,
if you're happy living on the streets, what is it about living on the streets or dumpster diving makes you happy? What is it that brings you happiness?
I guess it's not necessarily that. I guess it'd be,
I think it's
not that I'm not like, I don't have to answer to nobody. It's just kind of like, I guess kind of the freedom, But then it kind of, I mean, I don't want to sound like lazy or like,
I can't imagine your life being lazy. I can't imagine your day being a lazy, laying in a hammock kind of day. You really have to, you have to hustle.
Yeah, you do. And then, there's not always things in the trash either, you know? Yeah. So, but,
so what do you do if you don't, what is your typical day like? So you don't realistically have any bills.
Mm-hmm.
I assume your money is spent on food and, mm-hmm. and survival.
Yeah, exactly.
Necessities.
I'm going to be, moving to Arkansas here pretty soon.
Your dad came in and told I talked to your dad that yesterday, and he's pretty excited to move to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. He's
just
pretty
happy. Ever since I was like 17, I always like worked. When I was 17, I actually worked two jobs. I was doing roofing from 6 to 2, and then after that, I was stocking liquor store right here from 3 to 10. You know, like,
nice.
And then after that, I was working for my uncle and in Palm Springs doing construction and. And then out here and subcontracting, so I like working. And then
would you prefer to be working, or where you are now? Like are you actively seeking employment, or are you just living day to day now? I mean, I guess what does the future hold for you other than what are you going to do in Arkansas as well?
A lot of people don't realize like when you lose everything, it's really hard to get a job. Like
It's hard to crawl out of that hole.
You don't have a phone, you don't have transportation, all your things get stolen a lot, you know, like because you have to tow everything around, so they don't get stolen. Sometimes you forget, you know, and then it gets stolen, so you lose your ID or something. And then you know, most employers want to you have to have a ID, of course, social security card, address,
reference check, you know, address,
telephone number so they get a hold of you. A lot of them want transportation. So, a lot of people do know you're like homeless or on the streets, they don't want to pay you anything because they think like, well, anything's better than what he's used to getting.
I can give you $20.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to $100.
So you always get lowballed. It's just I feel like bad for a lot of the homeless people. People don't even realize how rough it is.
Yeah, it's and you did, like you said, you've done what you had to do to survive. It's mm-hmm. which is and you had told me early on before we did this interview, you said you started dumpster diving because you didn't want to go down the road that most do, which is breaking and entering or stealing stuff.
So I wanted to I started doing that to recycle.
Yeah,
and then I started finding such good things. Yeah.
So what does the future hold for you? You said you're moving to Arkansas. You're moving to your sister's mm-hmm. house?
Yeah, my sister's.
And what are your plans there?
Actually, I want to go out there and then go to school, probably.
What kind of school?
Actually, there's a lot of things I want to learn. Probably engineering, but I'd like to do, like, gunsmithing, too, and then, like, machinist, or blacksmithing would be cool, like, I don't know, I could learn some my whole life, you know?
Yeah, interesting. So, are you going to have work out there? Or are you, what does your sister do? Is she going to help you out? Obviously, you're going to be staying with them, so.
I'm not sure where she's working right now. She doesn't have, like, a career, like, you know? I don't know. It'd be a lot easier out there because, you know, be kind of somewhat situated, you know, like have a address and, you know, be a little more help out there. So, yeah,
that's
definitely.
Cool.
And then I could, you know, get to school. I don't know. It just seems like a new start, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes mm-hmm. that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're out here, I mean, we're in the desert for those that don't remember or haven't listened. So what do you do in the summer when it's 120 degrees? Sleep all day?
It gets pretty bad, I guess. Just deal with it, I guess.
You're still doing your tech, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you just get used to it. It sucks, you know?
Yeah. But then even in the winter, it's actually cold at night. Mm-hmm. So where do you sleep at night?
It all depends. Like, wherever, sometimes we'd have a camp somewhere or, like,
Do you camp up at the top of the cove, or are you mostly down here at the bottom?
Mostly down here. Actually,
now you still have, does your dad still, crazy, but, does your dad still own the property?
My grandmother does.
Oh, your grandmother
She actually owns two houses around here. My uncle has he's in another house, four-bedroom house by himself, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, my dad never do that to him, you know, like, it's just,
why won't he, what's the issue there?
I don't know. After the house burned, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, I don't get it.
So there's some family drama.
Yeah,
there.
It's weird.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
Okay.
You said you sleep at the, you don't go to the top of the cove, mm-hmm. which is it's an animal preserve, but, so you stayed down towards the bottom
yeah.
of the cove.
Well, the top of the cove, it's weird at night. Like, I've seen people, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, like a bunch of people in robes, like up to going up there, like a cult. Like, I've seen, sounds, like crazy, but,
I've heard
UFO type thing. Like,
I've heard a lot of weird things that happened at the top of the cove. Yeah.
And, you know, I think, actually a lot of people, or a lot of homeless people, are actually, like, kind of, like, sensitives in a way, or empaths, or whatever you want to call it. There's actually a video on videos on YouTube called Richer versus Poor Social Experiment. And they'll, like, ask a homeless person for a dollar, and then, you know, he'll be, oh, yeah, sure, and he'll give you two. And then they'll ask the rich guy in a Ferrari if he has a dollar, and he'll tell him to F off or something, you know. But just videos like that, and it kind of shows you, like, kind of why, like, a lot of homeless people are where they're at. Like, they're just kind of too kind, you know, kind of hard, like, too giving in a way.
Yeah, for sure. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I can't think.
Yeah, the top of the cove is weird, though.
Do you have? Yeah, the top of the cove, I've heard some crazy stories. Chupacabras that go with the whalebone, but that was actually somewhere else. But all sorts of weird stuff that goes up there. Have you had any issues with the police? Do they harass you? Do they leave you alone? And do you travel? Well, let's answer that, and then I'll get to the next question.
I never have. Like, I've always been really cordial with them, you know? Like, never had a problem with the law or anything. And then up until, like a month and a half ago, like, they've been messing with me around here. Because, like, they changed the officers that were here that I knew real good. And, like, you know, they knew what I was doing. They knew I wasn't, you know, messing with anybody or doing anything wrong. And then these new ones, like, they're saying, like, they're pretty much telling me that they're going to keep doing this because I'm on the streets and they don't want homeless people in La Quinta and da-da-da, you know? But,
I suspect they're probably just trying to make a name for themselves and will mellow out as time goes on. Usually that's what happens.
Mm-hmm, hopefully.
If you have any issues with them, you can have them contact me. I'll vouch for you.
Cool.
I don't know that I'll do anything, but if you ever get into trouble with them, and just have them contact me.
Cool. Thank you.
Of course. Now, do you, when you sleep, I assume you stay with your father, but do mm-hmm. you have other people as well, or do you and your father tend, because I know that the homeless around here tend to move in packs, mm-hmm. if you will. Are you part of that group, or do you stay off on your own? Because some of those groups are shady.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you stay away from the shady
ones. I do. And then, like, a lot of my other friends, like, I don't know, I just don't want to burden them, so I just kind of, and it's kind of like I'm somewhat ashamed a little bit, like, because they're doing good. I feel like, you know.
You mean your friends that aren't?
Yeah, that aren't homeless. Like, right. I mean, you know, like, I just feel like, like a little, like I don't know, like I'm not doing what I should be or something, kind of like them. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. It's kind of, it's just,
I think that's probably a human nature thing. Nobody wants to be a burden, but at the same time, you're probably not being a burden. I think that you would find, unfortunately, we've gotten a part in our society where we listen to too much TV and media, and nobody wants to be quote unquote bothered by somebody mm-hmm. else. But realistically, on a one-on-one scale, almost any person I come across, if you get to know them, and what I mean by them is have a 5-minute conversation with them, they will do anything they possibly could for you. As long as you're not whacked out on drugs mm-hmm. or showing signs of anger or something like that. If they get to know you and you're a true person, I don't think there's a single person that wouldn't want to help another human being. They're not going to walk away from a situation. And realistically same thing as like if someone, I guess the perfect example is like when you see somebody in the corner asking for money and you're like, ah, they probably make $60,000 a year. They're all dressed up as a homeless person and I'm not going to give them $5. But if that same person came to you and sat at a coffee shop with you and told you their story of what you had just said to me, your entire story, and said, you know what, I just need $5 just to get me through the day. I don't think there's a single person that would say, fuck off, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And that's, I think that's where we are, is people just need to bring community back. You know, you need to get to know somebody once and put down your phone and get and actually have a conversation with somebody. So,
but it seems like when you're like in like your the clothes you've been wearing for like a week or something, you're real scraggy looking. People like avoid you completely, and it's actually a lot harder. It's actually easier for someone to get money like dressing, looking like they're not homeless, than to be looking like you're homeless. Like, it's weird. Like,
I guess that's true, and I guess that's true and not true. I don't know how that. That's
watch that Rich versus Poor. It actually shows the same girl. She's rich, and she's like,
hey, I need $10 for gas to get my car.
No, she's actually
like
saying, I need a new car. Will you help me? And this dude gives her like $150, and she makes like $300 like in 30 minutes, and then she turns around and gets all scraggly looking and saying she needs money for food, and then no one, she makes like $3 in like 2 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's the stigma that goes, unfortunately, I don't know where that came about or how that came about, is that homeless people are drug addicts and alcoholics, and all they're going to do is spend their money on drugs and alcohol, so don't give them money. Mm-hmm. I have always, and I'm not saying this for any other reason other than the point of this conversation is, most of the times when I'm driving by and someone's on the street corner, I'll kick a couple bucks or a five if I have it. And my thought process is, I don't really care what you do with that $5. You can do what you want with it because it's your life. And
yeah, and if you need it, whatever it may be. Like, I've always done the same thing. Before I was homeless, my dad was always the same way. We turn around to give homeless people money, you know?
Yeah. Well, my thoughts are everybody has their vices, whether it's legal or not legal. Exactly. Everybody has a vice. So if you smoke cigarettes or you smoke weed or you're an alcoholic or you just like to drink, you're making a judgment call on somebody if you go to the bar and have a couple drinks, but you're refusing to give this guy on the street $5 because you think he should have food instead.
Yeah.
He's a grown man. He can make his own decisions for himself. And again, I don't care if that $5 makes you happy. If I give you $5 and you go and buy a 40 ounce and it makes you happy for 2 hours, then that $5 has done more for you than $5 most likely would have done for me.
And then you got to also think too, like, people, if they're on the streets, like, they don't have TV, they don't have, like, it gets really boring too. Yeah. So, and like, not only that, it can be really depressing too, you know? So sometimes, like, those things are actually, in a way, saving their lives, like, because it messed up that may sound, like, because a lot of times you need a little escape when you're that, like,
yeah, for sure,
feeling that, like, down and out, you know? Like,
so that's another good topic. One of my friends works with his church, and he does an outreach program, and they do a food drive every one Sunday a month. And one of my friends who's on Instagram, Deadhead Chuck, and I and my fiance, we used to go out and feed the homeless, but they keep moving the homeless camps and driving them out of Indio. But we used to take over batteries, female hygiene products, toilet paper, water bottles that were recyclable water bottles, so they could keep going. When you're on the streets, what are the things that you're always like, damn, I need this? Like, do you have flashlights that you always need batteries for, or toilet paper? What are the things that you guys are always in need of that never you can never find? Or that you would rather not spend money on because your money is tight?
Batteries is a good one, flashlights. Let me see. Like, not toilet paper really too much, because like, usually you just go places, you know?
Yeah,
but it's good to have a little roll, but I mean, it lasts a long time usually. But backpacks, socks,
backpacks, huh?
Mm-hmm, backpacks, yeah, socks, inner tubes, bikes, you know.
Yeah.
Patches and stuff for bikes.
Patch kits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slime, like for tires, you know, just like, because there's a lot of thorns and stuff like that. Socks are a good one. Like, t-shirts, just even, like, just, like, a lot of times, you, I mean, it's, just, like, simple, it's weird, like, how simple things get when you're on, you know, on the streets.
And, yeah, exactly. You're looking, you're, what everyday people, what people take for granted have houses and stuff are the things that are necessities for you.
Yep.
Light at night. Running water. Mm-hmm. So, I had a friend that was homeless for a while, and he had a system, and he would hit the he knew which houses had sprinkler heads that were off, so that he could go wash and stuff like that.
Yeah. What else? Let me see.
Actually, or which houses had spigots that he could go turn on, and he's like, I was very respectful. He's like, I never really let the water running, and you know, just go in for 30 seconds and wash your hair or whatever, and move along.
And then actually, I started listening to this this show on YouTube. It's called Darkness Prevails, and it's actually this narrator, and he's really good. But he narrates like these supposedly true stories of different like cryptids and stuff like that people see all around the pretty much the world. And because being on the streets, you see some things that I won't even mention, because you question my sanity, and, like, I hardly believe it, and I see it in my own two eyes, so, just different things like that,
like,
just...
Like what? Throw me one.
Okay, one, for instance, my dad, and a friend, and me, we're in Indio, and, all of a sudden, we see this, it looks like a headlight in the sky, you know, like, what the heck is that? And then, it's coming, like, towards us, you know, and it's about as high as a telephone pole, a pole and a half, and it's about 100 feet away, and about 200 feet up, so it's pretty close. And then it just stops right there, and then the middle of it opens up, and it looks like it drops like a 50-gallon drum of hot lava out of it, like just the lava pours out of this thing out of the sky. Okay, like we're like, what the f- is that, dude? You know, like you what you know, and then all of a sudden another big blob of lava, like boop, like. And then it closes up, and then it starts to move real slow, and then it's just gone, poof, you know, like in a second, it just takes off, you know.
And how long ago was that, and where was it?
That was in Indio, like, actually, and it was, let me see, it was on Calhoun and, like, Van Buren, like,
So you're deep, well, Calhoun and Van Buren.
Yeah, there's actually that, kind of by one stop, it's...
There's not much out there.
But it actually dumped it where there's a telephone. It's like a telephone company or like the yard where they store all their equipment and stuff. So we couldn't go back there and expect what it was they dumped or what, you know, because I wanted to go see what it was. And I was thinking, like, well, is it like it may have, it is like we may just waste. They didn't want like no one to like look at it, or I don't know what it was. It was weird. And then the next night. Our friend that was with us, he was telling his buddy, because he lives right there, and then his buddy goes inside, and sure as heck, it comes back, and he's telling this for his friend, like, come here, look, it's here again, and it does the same thing, but his buddy missed it, you know? But it did it two nights in a row, you know? Like, but yeah. I didn't see it the second time, but, I mean, that was just one thing. The other thing, it's just crazy.
Oh, now you weird. Got now you got to say it. You already said it was crazy, so you got to say it.
Like, no, I can't, because, like, I if someone was to say, I'd be like, man, if I didn't see it, like, myself, I'd be, man, that feels crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I'll tell you sometime. But.
All right, that's fine. We'll save that for a later topic.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about or mention? Any questions for me? Anything like that? I'm trying to think if there's anything that we missed. Did you grow up here in the desert?
Yeah, for a little bit. I'm originally from Long Beach.
Long Beach, yeah, because that's where you're. Yeah, that's where your family's from. Long Beach.
And then it's back and forth. Like I went to high school in Huntington Beach for a minute. But yeah, mostly out here.
What do you? I guess that's a good question. What do you normally eat for a day?
It all depends. Like,
Do you eat a lot of fat? Well, you don't. If you stay around here primarily, mm-hmm. don't you? So
I'm not like chicken from this place. Like the burritos.
Jesus, you're just destroying your insides. I know, huh? you're eating gas station food, mm-hmm. burritos. Yep. However, their fried chicken is the best around. It is, huh? Their fried chicken is the bomb. It's it amazing. Is, yeah, it is. I actually did maps for La Quinta for this area, and I put on that map that gas station's fried chicken is the best around.
It is
amazing. All right, well, once again, I want to thank Anthony for being on the show. If you have any questions, you can contact us at findersthrift.com or finders_thrift on Instagram or finders_vinyl if you're a record collector. If you have any questions for Anthony or myself, he comes through here so I can get to him and ask him questions. If you want to donate money to him or to his father or to their trip to Arkansas, please contact us on our email. That is finderslq. That is finderslq@gmail.com. These are all on the Instagram page and everything else, and you can contact us pretty much anywhere you want. You can contact us through the phone as well, through Finders Thrift in La Quinta, California. Once again, thank you so much for listening. As always, good luck out there and happy hunting.
All right, thank you guys. God bless.